You would recognise that the church is finished, the walls are rendered, got a beautiful floor. Them classrooms that you walked in is opposite the school, opposite the church, they're gone. There's all these new ones and they're just lovely and there's brick paving everywhere. God has truly been good. I'll talk about the medical centre next time because I need to bring something before you. In the middle of last week, I got an email from the guy who runs the work in Uganda. Now, who knows, times are tight. Inflation. Well, imagine inflation on nothing. Hyper nothing. So you can imagine Uganda hasn't got very much to start off with. So this has really hit them bad. And in turn, has really hit the school. So much so that they're struggling to make it work. So what we have decided as a church is for the next 4 weeks, we will take a special offering. Just to help them with the education materials for this, you know, we can't do it forever, but we can start. I wish I had time to preach for you. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 28, 29 says this: do not withhold good to those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to them, come again tomorrow when you have it with you to go. And that's at home ministry. That was Proverbs chapter 3, verse 23. That's how comes I'm in ministry. That was the word that God gave to me, and that's why the provocation that we have something to give. So, Grace Community Church, for the next 4 weeks, I've already talked to you, Pastor, I'm not doing it. For the next 4 weeks, I'm going to take you a special offering here. As the Lord lays it on your heart, give. We can guarantee every penny that comes will go there. Put it in an envelope, mark it Uganda, or put it online and tell your pastor, or however you do your finance in this place. But if you can help, you know, a pound here, nothing. A pound there. Who wants to be a millionaire? Come on, hang up. You're lying. Oh, my. A million shillings in Uganda is 240 quid. Yeah, so you can be a millionaire if you want. But anyway, we better get on. I've made it known. Make your request known. What a privilege it is to be able to share in there as well. For those of you even more interested, June 19th through the 29th, we're going to Uganda. Yeah, we're going to have a time. So if you want to come.
Do you mean
2020? Let's take you to pray up to. No, the dates. June 19th through to the 29th.
Special rate 3.
Unless you feel the urge to go missionary for the next 6 years.
You did say I did.
All right. Let me preach, I'm better at that. Let's pray. Father, we give you praise and we bless you, for you are a good God. You daily load us down with benefits, goodness and mercy are following us down the street. You just surround us with favour as a shield. What more can we say? How blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. And even in that, you still continue because you want to see us changed. From glory to glory, even as by your Spirit. So come, Spirit of God, in this place. Speak to every heart. Bless your people. Make something real to us today that will bring a change. For we ask these things in the name of Jesus and to his glory, and the people of God say, Amen. Why don't you turn to someone sitting next to you and say, you look good today. And if they snarl at you, so cheer up. Anyway, let's get on to this. Praise God. I'm going to talk to you today. If you want a title, He brings us out to bring us in. He brings us out to bring us in. And I could, for the sake of the argument, I'll not even get sidetracked yet. Exodus chapter 13 and verse 3 says this. It says, can I put these lights on behind me? Right, here we go. It says, remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. By the strength of his hand, the Lord brought you out of this place. Listen, God brought us out. When you were lost, when you were dead in sins, when you could do nothing to help yourself, when you were strangers and aliens from God, God in his sovereign mercy reached out to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that right? And it says, he brought you out of the house of bondage. Some people in church are so miserable. You go to the local prison, open all the doors and say, come on guys, out you come. He brought us out. We are no longer dead in sins and trespasses. You who were once dead, he made alive. You who were once darkness, he made light. You who were bound, he now brings you into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. I can preach this for you all day, but he has brought you out. Person, I'm so excited. I hardly control myself. You wouldn't believe how excited I am. Look. He brought you out. Because you need to get excited because he brought you out to bring you in. He brought you out of bondage because he wants to bring you into something. That you might declare the praises of him who brought you out of darkness and into his glorious light, marvellous light, which translation you want to read. He brought me out to bring me in. Now, I'll just give you a few scriptures just to cheer you up a bit. I can see it's going to be one of them days. Psalm 105 verse 43 says this. He brought his people out with joy and his chosen ones with a joyous shout. Hallelujah. He brought them out. Oh, I don't know if I agree, Pastor. Well, by the mouth of two or three, a thing is confirmed. Isaiah 51, verse 11. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy. And sorrow and sighing will flee away. That's not my experience, maybe because you're not living in. They come out, didn't it? Take it back. Sometimes, anyway, I'll just prove my point. John 8 and 36, you know this scripture. Don't look it up. Someone who did their memory verses. Therefore, if the Son shall make you free, you shall, you might, you could, if you feel up to it, if you have been good enough. Oh no, the man provides times I was not very good. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Do you want me to preach for you today? I feel like we could talk some Bible. I like coming here. You have to worry at home. When I take my coat off, first I just try to strangle myself with a microphone. Hey, don't give me these at home, because I wave my arms about, it disappears all across. Talk among yourself, we'll get there. Right. Yeah, we were there, weren't we? Just to prove my point, ready? A few scriptures, very quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 8 and 9. So the Lord brought you out of the house of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm. Praise God. And he brought you to this place to give you a land that flows with milk and honey. He set us free to enter and enjoy. Try again. To enter and enjoy. I don't understand Christianity that's not fun. I'm going to tell you something. Before I became a Christian, I enjoyed my lifestyle. The Bible says sin is pleasurable for a season. And I enjoyed it. But then I got saved. And now I've got that deep joy. Oh, you just wouldn't believe how deep. Oh. Listen. We are supposed to be selling something better. We are living epistles. We are living testimony. We are living gospel that this works. And if we're walking around like a wet Sunday in Brighton, then God will, as I bring glory to God, we're saved. Well done. I'm getting there. Listen to this, Leviticus 20 and 24. I have said to you, you shall inherit the land, and I will give it to you to possess. When God made that promise, do you know what? He was only offering what was already his. When God promises you something, he's promising it to you because he's got... When he said, I'm going to give you this land, what does the Bible say? The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. When God says he's going to give you something, first because he's got it, and secondly because he's got a right to give it. Someone needs to start getting too excited now, because when he talks about healing your body, firstly because he's got it, and secondly because he's got a right to give it, and thirdly because he's going to help and stop it. I'm going to preach a lot. I'm going to have to work hard today, am I, really? Yeah. I can feel it. There's a promised land for the people of God to enter and enjoy. What made it a promised land?
This is really profound. Come on, risk it. Go and promise it.
Everyone's getting all theological. What made it the promised land is that God promised it. Firstly, he promised it to Abraham. For those of you who like your Bible, you want to go Genesis chapter 12, Genesis chapter 15, Genesis chapter 17, where God says to Abraham, makes a covenant with him, and says, this is the land that I am going to give to you, to your children, and to your children's children. Right, there is a land to be possessed that God has promised to us and to our children and to our children's children. So it's a scripture that my wife and I pray every night. Every night. Isaiah. And this is just a quick one, and we're not going to stop there. Write it down for yourself, Isaiah 59 and 21. And it says, and this is the covenant that I will make with you, that the same word and the same spirit that's on you will be on your children and on your children's children. And my wife and I stand on that every night. Father, you have said, same word, same spirit. My grandbabies might want to backslide. I don't think they will, they might want to, but they ain't got any other option. Because he's a covenant keeping God. Once you start, when they've got the terrible twos, and they all fall away when they're 12, but they're good people. No, they're not. They're horrible. Just as horrible as you are. That's why they need a saviour. But we've got a promise from a saviour. Don't make excuses. Do you know, I feel sorry for some of my older sons. I really do. They've got a gold shacking in the blood. Oh yeah, he's a nice bloke. And he works hard.
And I'm ready to get saved. There's a promise of God. And you need to put God in remembrance of my word. Put me in remembrance of my word. This is the word that proceeded from my mouth. I will not honor the word that proceeded from my mouth, nor the covenant I have made, says God. We need to put him in remembrance. Anyway, that's not the word for today. I will give this land, Genesis 12, verse 7, to your descendants. Romans chapter 4, verse 12. So it's Abraham now. Well, listen to this. You'll like this. Not only are... I've not got in time. Let's look at it like this. Abraham is the father of the faithful. And those of you who want to work it out, I'm not even going to preach it for you. Romans chapter 4. And he says, lovely thing in there, he says, he judged God faithful. When God makes you a promise, you see, how do you judge it? Do you believe he's watching over his words to perform them? Do you believe heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will abide forever? Do you know that God is not a man that he cannot lie, neither is he the son of man that he should repent, as he said, and will he not do it, as he's spoken it, and shall it not come to pass? He's a covenant people of God. He cannot lie. Heaven and earth may pass away. Forever, our Lord God is established in heaven. We need to judge God faithful. Because until you judge him faithful, you will oscillate. How long have you fought between two opinions, the Bible says? If God be God, let him be God. And if Baal be Baal, let him be God. And the God who answers by fire. One Kings 16, 17, something like that, is it? Anyway,
where are we?
We don't want this heavens. Look at this. When God introduced himself to Abraham, when God introduced this, you're in Genesis 17, verse 1. How did he introduce himself? Very probably, you know. I've got a friend, and you all know the same. He said it to me once, he doesn't know it really. First impressions, last impressions. How did he present himself to Abraham? I am Almighty God. I am, those of you who like it, El Shaddai. I am the God who is all sufficient. All-powerful, all-able. How did God introduce himself to Moses? I am who I am. And those of you like that one, I am what I need to be. And I am what you need me to be now. I am your sufficient one. So now we've got a God who does not change, Malachi chapter 3 and 6, the old man and the Lord do not change. Hebrews 13 and 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. When he introduced himself to Moses, when he introduced himself to Abraham, he introduces himself to you and I as God Almighty, all-powerful, all-able, and all-sufficient. In fact, if I haven't got it, you know that I am who I am? If I haven't got it, I'm able. You think your problem is a big problem? I ain't got it. I just not because I'm done. We need to get a revelation of the one who calls us his children. If you can be evil, you can never go things. Know how to give good gifts. How much more we have about the Holy Spirit? So, my friends, we need to get a revelation of the God who we call Father. He ain't some rinky dinky, tin pot, stingy miser. He is God Almighty. He is El Shaddai. He is enough. And in fact, he is more than enough. Jeremiah 32, chapter and verse 27 or 26 says this: Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. is anything too hard for me? And in verse 17, the prophet falls down. Oh
God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Nothing, absolutely nothing, is too hard for thee. That's why God said all things are possible with God, but all things are possible to those who will believe. What do we believe? That all things are possible with God.
You can see, sometimes I just get I enjoy the truth that we preach. Where am I?
Oh, yeah, we're getting along nicely. You're almost half a page.
That's why, I think someone's already said it today, if God be...
If God be...
Then... Do you know, it's a rhetorical question. Get a grip. If God be for us,
who can be against us?
So that's hard. I just wanted to introduce God to you. A covenant keeping God. Oh. Yeah, oh, we better do that.
So we've established, hopefully, that the promised land was a promised land because God had promised it to Abraham.
Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14 says this: Christ became a curse for us. For it is written, cursed be every man that hangeth on a tree. That the promise of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, the people who didn't know God. So the promise that God made to Abraham, to give him a land, flood, and build a family, promised land, is the promise that he makes to you and I. People of faith, because Abraham was the father of the faith.
Someone's head's going, I don't know if I agree.
Well, that's fine.
I'll enjoy it. You can stand and watch.
I don't know if I agree. It's always one.
We also pray at night. We go to sleep sometimes. It goes on a bit.
Psalm 91. You all know it, don't you? Let me just run a few promises through you.
We're doing well.
And these are just random ones.
I will deliver him.
Ready?
Many are the afflictions of the righteous.
Trouble is, too many stay with their afflictions.
Oh, can I stay with my afflictions? Oh, my afflictions are worse than your afflictions.
Oh, you cannot believe how bad my afflictions are.
Oh, if there's a God in heaven, why am I got these afflictions?
Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out more. That's what the Bible says. Not Cain.
Oh yeah. In this world, Jesus said, you will have tribulations. But have a mum.
Have a brother.
Blame somebody. Blame everybody. If it ain't the government, it's got to be the Russians.
If it ain't the Russians, it's got to be COVID. If it ain't COVID, I don't know. It's got to be
many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. In this world, you will have tribulation, but there are much God. I have overcome this tonight. When you pass through the fire, I will be with you. Forth of the flame, forth of the river, forth of the flood. Behold, I will not leave you nor forsake you. You know that one, don't you? Hebrews 13. Since he promised that I will never leave you or forsake you. Up before me. I will not fear. He said, I'll never leave you.
Anyway, I just put another one because I like it. Acts 27, it's one of my favourites, I've probably mentioned it again and again and again. It's the boat's going down. It's around about 25, 28, something like that. The boat's going down and Paul prays. And he comes up and says, "Be of good cheer." Oh, this is religious nut on there. "Well, there, an angel appeared to me this night of the gods to whom I belong and whom I serve. And told me blah, 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 blah. And I believe God." Now, in the middle of the song, hang on, you need to get this right, the storm ain't stopped. It's in the middle of the storm, he turns around and says, "I believe God. It will be exactly as it was spoken." Why? Because I've got a promise from God who cannot lie. Why? Because I've got a covenant with God who cannot lie, who will not change it. His word forever is established. All these people used to say to me, "Well, there's a woman I know." And then, "Well, no Bible says lay hands on them and speak." Of course, you surely will vote. We're sitting down and she'll turn around and say this. "Now, I know the Bible says, but let's be good." So it's obviously about salvation and everything. Let's be real, we'll go there. Once you start on this rationalisation of making God fit into what you think and what you feel and what you've heard, you are in serious trouble. That's why he's giving you this wonderful old book. John 17:17, I've got time. Jesus said, "Father, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth." John 8:36, "We've already done it. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." We are a blessed people. We are a covenant people. Right, here we go. I'm all right. I didn't stand up till 1:45. I didn't stand up till 1:45. I'm watching the clock at all. All right. We're going to do this one. Numbers. Chapter 13. You've got to do a number on it. Chapter 13. So there they are now, on the edge of their promised land. And they, after going here and everywhere, they come back and they bring back their report. And you notice the voice of unbelief goes like this. "Oh, yeah, it's just as God said." Mm. "Nevertheless, let's be real. Let's. It's just as God said. Oh, I'll be persistent." Stupid verse to be nice, don't you? "Oh, it's just as God said." And for those of you who are not American, I can say this, get your butt out of the way.
So if you know all the things that you
know. Oh, that's real, brother. Oh, I knew someone who did that. They go on. Well, I know someone who believed proper fine and so didn't go. Don't go and hang out with those people, they're the places. You come in. Yeah, I've been around this thing too, and I've hung out with some really stupid people. Well, when they say all wise, all knowing, all God says this, and they say, yeah, but. So they send a few spies, they come back with their report. Yeah, truly, they're in first looking honey. But. There are giants in the land. My friend, I want to tell you today, the biggest giant you've got in your life is unbelief. What makes unbelief serious is refusal to believe God. Hebrews chapter 3, at the end of it says this, that people are entering into God's land one, it's unbelief.
God had promised it, God had provided it, God said he would go before them and drive out their enemies. I want to tell you something, Tracy. God has given you a promised land. At the moment, these people trust us in your promised land. When you come home from church when you come home from church today, and someone's sitting in your lounge, and in the fridge by yourself, saying, "Hey, come in." Because this is my possession, and you have no right on my possession. You are trespassing in what is mine.
Yes.
Are we getting a revelation now of a promised land that God has given to you, but there are things in your promised land that need to be dispossessed? God has promised to heal your body, but sickness needs to be dispossessed. God's promised to be your financial, but poverty needs to be dispossessed. God has promised you a good marriage, but not the husband needs to be. God has promised you. But the things that are causing it. This is my promised land. You are trespassing in my promised land. Therefore, get out. Resist the devil. Cast him out. Stand him down. As if the symptoms come back. Then you do the same as you did last time, because God has promised it. God is not a man that he should lie down, but is he the son of man that he should reflect? As he said it, and we have good, as he spoke it, shall not come to us. Numbers 14 there, 2, 12, God, 10, bring back an evil report. 2, and then a little bit of a different spirit. God has sent me to say to you today is for you, you will need to be a man or a woman of a different spirit if you're going to possess your inheritance. So when unbelief died out, remember the story? When unbelief dies out, they possess it out of our promised land. Time for you and I to start rising up and saying something wrong. So this church started writing out there are unsaved people in this community need to be saved. It's time for the church to start saying this. For the Bible says in Isaiah, the children shall come from the north, from the south, from the east, from the west. Let them go. Call them forth. Why? Because they are our inheritance. Why? Because God has promised it. How do you know that? God is not God's will that man should perish, but all men should come to repentance. God is not slow, but so many promises are so many man's lives. He is patient. But want to see many perish. It's time for the church to arise and start talking about their possession. Minister of God, it's time for you to start rising up and start claiming your possession. This is my promised land. Your children, God didn't just let you knock out a few kids. God gave you kids on trust. It's time for you to start calling your children back. Here's a line. Well, I'm not interested, shame. I should be called some of yours. What I'm going on about, I don't care. Your duty is according to that. They've been entrusted to you. This is your promised land. This is your inheritance. Someone at the moment is trespassing in what is yours. There's only one you dispossess, who you possess. I don't care really if you like me or not. I'm too old for that. I've got past that. My job's not to tell you that. My job's to tell you the truth. My job is to provoke you. You've done all of that. Oh, just in case you struggle, listen to this. Christian brothers and sisters, I've even written my notes. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 4. God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Verse 5. We have great and precious promises. Corinthians, isn't it? Where is it? There. 2 Corinthians 1:20. Great and precious promises, and all the promises of God, yes,
Amen. In Christ. Yes, and so be it. Last one, very quickly, and I will tell us to finish up. This is Joshua chapter 6. Here they are standing there now. This is the closing, so all right. Joshua chapter 6, and they come, and there's an obstacle. Remember? And I'm not even going to tell you what they said. Come and say this. First lesson we need to learn. Perseverance. Say that word. Perseverance. God says to them, walk around it. I don't walk around it, I possess it. Walk around it. 6 days. Come on, just walk around it once. This city is huge. First lesson, perseverance. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 says this, we shall weep in due season if we do not give up. Too many of us start our course and give up. Second one, let's be honest. It goes in, all down the wall. Come on, I mean, to the natural mind, that's why the carnal mind cannot receive the things of God. Because God might be speaking to you today about a way to get into your promised land, which you think this is bizarre. You might buy a bunch of flowers, or phone a call, sow a seed, tithe. I don't know what it is, but God may be speaking to you today to do something which is not in your rationale. And if you don't believe in Isaiah 55 and 8, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. What about this one? And the prophet of God's dying, and he has to slap a load of figs on himself. What about this one? They run out of wine. There is just a bump of water in that pot. What about this one? Naaman comes with leprosy. Go and drink in the river. Sometimes there are some things to the natural that are born, and yet to the eternal, immortal God who knows the end from the beginning, that's his way. So, hang on, just two more. And I didn't look at my notes, I think. Yeah, this one. Keep your mouth shut. Zipperoo. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it, I like that, people finish this type of text. And those who love it will eat its fruit. You can talk yourself out of your future. And if the person next to you wants to fill your ears up with that's when you use this. Bless you, have a God. Why? Faith comes from hearing. Not only by hearing the word of God, so to say. These spies came back with their bag and cold. Faith came by hearing. They believed them in the gospel blessing. Last one then, isn't it? Oh yeah. 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 In public, you are like this. But in private, that's the place to get your praise. That's the place, I don't know if I agree. There's not someone in there, Judges chapter 1. Who shall send up for us? Who shall go first? Send Judah first. Who knows what Judah means? Praise. You, in the midst of your situation, start praising God. You, in the midst of ours, I'll praise God when I get it. That's easy. It's easy to praise God when you get it. The hard thing is to praise God in the way in between. Paul and Silas in the chair. And they knew their God would not fail. And round about midnight, they praised God with a mighty in our prayer. I thank you, God, they're coming up. You can feel like nothing on earth. I thank you, God, that you're my healer and the glory and the fruit of my head. I thank you, your word cannot return to you, God. I thank you that Christ is in his own body, bore my sin on the tree, that we haven't died to sin by the righteousness and by his stripes. I am here, blessed God, I've been in battle already. Psalm 107, verse 10, you send your word and hear them delivered from their destruction. And it will be if you will listen to the voice of the Lord, humble to obey all his commandments that he sets before you this day. All these blessings shall come upon you. Bless you, 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 bless you.
Last one. When I tell you, he says, shout, for the Lord has given you the sea. I tell you what, saints of God, you need to start getting your prayers on and get your shout on and call the devil a liar and declare that God is true and every promise of God is yea and amen and it's coming to pass in my body, in my family, wherever I need it, for God cannot lie. And the saints of God say amen. And we're going to stand and we're going to pray. Let's first thing you need to notice is this. You've got a promise from a God who cannot lie. There is a promised land for you to enjoy. But the devil, who is a liar and the father of lies, has moved in and has robbed you. And in some cases has taken up residence, saying to you, there is no help for thou and God. Lord, that authorised versions now. But thou, O Lord, ah, shit, there is no. Many are those who rise up against me. Many are those who say to me, there is no help for you in God. But thou, O Lord, ah, shield about me. My glory and the lifter of my head. Can you say that with me today? But thou, O Lord, art a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. For I lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes in the name of the Lord. They looked unto him and were radiant, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Today, if you will just lift up your head. Let me tell you something. They didn't enter into the promised land because they looked at the problem. And they didn't look at the promise. And today, your deliverance, your healing, your whatever, is if you look at the problem, I don't feel better. It's still hurting. Instead of looking at the promise. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise giver. God who cannot lie. Even today, we need to start praying now for this church. Good that we get a little bit snug, but oh God, there's so many more people who need salvation. Oh God, devil, you let them go. Today, we the saints of the Most High God are calling them for whatever your need is today. Firstly, if you're sick in your body, if there's any sick among you, call the elders of the church. Let them anoint you with oil, let them pray the prayer of faith and see what God will do. James 5, 16. Mark 16, 17 and 18. These signs will come to those who believe. They will lay their hands on the sick and they shall. That's how they mock. He says, they shall recover.
And then you know what? Recovery is that process of getting well. Some people get well happy, other people, it's a process.
Hallelujah. It's time for the Church of God to arise and call the devil a liar. If God be for us,
if that's you now, and I'm not going to make a sign down for
that. If you are sick in your body, you want prayer, worship, pastor, if the first lady of this house will join me for that. If there's a situation that you've got now, and you need just to get a little bit right. You see, the preachers in Africa, and they're always shouting and going, what is it like now? Whereas we are serving each other. Now, Mr. Devil, would you, if this is all possible and reason, would you stop causing me so much trouble? Now, I don't think of being this way, I'm not sure this is now, but do you think it would be possible to leave? Keep it now. If someone's sitting in your lounge, what are you going to do? Make yourself comfy, mate. It's cold outside. I don't mean that. It's time for us to church that we're living God's life. Kicking some things out of our lives. That spirit of unbelief, I find you now in the name of Jesus. Pull it down. Kick it out. That habit that seems to hold you down. Today, the Lord speaks to you and says, come up higher. There is a promised land for you to enjoy. And if you are willing to take hold of that thing by the scruff of the neck and kick it out, I will give you the power to overcome. You need to start believing God. Think about believing God. Shall we raise our hands? Shall we raise our voice? We are hallelujah. We give you praise. We thank you for the victory. We thank you for your overcoming. We thank you, you said it is finished. We thank you, you rose from the dead. You overcame sin and the grave. Father, we give you glory. We give you honor in our bodies today. That you are, we are temples of the Holy Ghost. That you live within us. And Father, we thank you today for your touch that makes whole. We thank you for our families that have entrusted to us. That we will see you move on them. Well, you're very quiet. Maybe I'm the only one who watches my brother say, my nephew say, oh God, today you have said, Lord, we believe you that your will and not perish. And we call out to you today in the name of Jesus. Some of you are sitting there, you can just raise a hand to heaven and start believing God and start doing something you can do and start letting God minister to you. Let God be true. And every man a liar. If you value prayer, you value attack, here's your pastor and first lady. Listen, move forward, kiss your man. Come to me, say, pastor, slap my hand on me. Or the one who said, if two of us in the room are just touching anything, you hear us and we are out of question. We thank you that Jesus has made it possible already by his death. Is there any other action? Or is it Christian muscle? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.